The miracles of Christ. You know, He's still in the miracle business.
Amen.
We overlook it so much. But there's miracles that happen all around us. And we just overlook it. Or we want to explain it a certain way. Scripture selection comes to us from Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 40. May we hear the word of the Lord. And with many other words he testified, he being Peter. Peter's doing a sermon here. And he said, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his words were baptized. Praise the good Lord. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. May we pray. Lord, we thank you for this, your holy scripture. May you bless the reading and the hearing of it, that in hearing it may stay within our souls. This is a really good scripture. This is really a good sermon, not because I wrote it, because you did, Lord. And we thank you for your blessings of it. In Christ's name, amen. Sue will tell you that I had a sermon put together and I was ready to do it this Sunday. And it just, I thought, fit the situation. But yesterday evening I was sitting back in my study and this came to me. And I heard God when he gave me this scripture. So I quickly started writing stuff down, going to the Bible, giving God thanks for getting my attention. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in supernatural interruptions? Do you believe in divine interventions? Are you open to the idea of a God who, at times for his purposes, suspends the natural laws, amends the constitution of the cosmos, a God who bends the arc of history and creates an unexpected, inexplicable event? Several years ago, I was at a hospital with a preacher named Dick Lewis, and we were praying over this woman, and the doctors had given her 2 to 3 hours to live. She had brain cancer, she had cancer of the lungs, she had breast cancer, she had cancer of the spine. 34-year-old lady that I thought she was very pretty, But she just illuminated her presence of God. And it encouraged Dick Lewis and I to continue praying for her. And the doctor come in and he said, there's nothing else you can do for her. We've done all we can. Dick and I never slowed down. We continued praying for her. Maybe 15, 20 minutes later, we were still praying. She opened her eyes and grabbed our hands. Well, she had a hand apiece. And she said, I don't know if God's ready for me yet. I feel good all of a sudden. The doctor came in. And he said, we're going to look at her again. Her vital signs that we've been looking at has changed. And tears were coming out of Dick and I's ears. We were both praising the Lord. And Joe, you can understand this and appreciate this. Dick got Pentecostal on us. And I kind of did too, more so than I have ever done. The doctor came back in a few minutes and he said, we've got to take her somewhere. She's doing too good. And an hour later, when they brought her back up, no cancer. Amen. Dick and I both got on our knees and we were praying. The nurse, two nurses got behind us and they had their hands on our shoulder. And we continued praying and they prayed with us, and God's still in the miracle business. Do you believe in divine miracles? Not magic, not sleight of hands, not hocus pocus or abracadabra. Do you believe in God-ordained, God-determined, God-directed acts of supernatural good things that happen to people that scientists can't explain away, doctors can't explain away? We've all seen those, haven't we? I'm asking about miracles, jaw-dropping, science-defying, faith-prompting, heart-touching, God-honoring events that just can't be explained. All you do is point to the heavens and say, God did this. Do you believe in miracles? We want to, don't we? We as Christians don't have a problem believing in miracles. Maybe the cancer patient wants to believe. Maybe the unemployed father who has no money coming in and he needs to feed his family. The mother of the wayward child wants to believe in miracles. The farmer with the grief, a drought-stricken crop, wants to believe in miracles. We don't have that problem this year, though, do we? It's water, water everywhere. But we'll take it because the good Lord sent it. The exhausted physician in the ICU wants to believe in a miracle. We all do. At some point, some low point, we find ourselves hoping beyond hope for a solution beyond personal resources, longing for a being who is at once abound and benevolent, a God who is ungoverned by laws of nature, unhindered by weariness, and unlimited in his affection for us. We desire, do we not, to be released from the rigid train tracks of the predictable, explainable, touchable, measurable, tangible. We desire to believe in miracles. But we're hesitant. Why? We are careful. We are cautious. You know, there's charlatans and snake oil salesmen trafficking in supposed miracles. And then we ask ourselves, what if we get snookered? We're going to look bad because we're Christians. And we're supposed to believe in a Jesus Christ who is sufficient for all of our needs. What if the promise of this miracle is fool's gold on the pathway of disappointment? Then again, what if the promise of miracles is true? What if the Bible stories have credits? What if the gospel writers weren't kidding when they wrote the following four pieces of scripture? Matthew 4, verse 24. News about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them all. Matthew 8, 26. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was calm. And what's the next sentence? Peter says, and who is this that can rebuke the winds and the waves and they obey him? That's our Lord. Matthew 20, verse 34. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. And the last one, John 6, 19. They saw Jesus approaching the boat. Everybody knows this one, right? He was walking on water. Peter wanted to walk on water, but what happens? Peter takes his eyes off the Lord, and that's what happens to us when we start sinning. We take our eyes off the Lord. He's walking on water. I have one more. Mark 6:56. And as many as touched him, Jesus, he made them well. Verse after verse, story after story, event after event, miracles so numerous where each occasion can be transcribed. The world itself cannot be contained in the books that would be written. John 21:25. If everything that Jesus did was written down, at least three or four books that high, but somewhere along the line, he had to get our attention. And he got our attention, and he got the disciples' attention through miracles. The miracles of Jesus were not occasional, they were constant. They were not marginal to his story, they were essential to his story. They were not peripheral, they were vital activities upon which the very identity of Jesus was constructed. Indeed, one of the most compelling arguments for the veracity of Jesus Christ was the inability of his adversaries to denounce his miraculous deeds. They could say anything about what he was saying. They could twist his words. We know what they did. But when he raised somebody from the dead, when he called them out of that grave, Lazarus, come forward. Lazarus, come forward. And don't you know there were several people fainting? When we see the miracles of Jesus, what do we do? Do we turn our backs? Do we try to explain it? Acts 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. He was sent here to do the miracles, and he did it. I like to think that the fisherman turned preacher, Peter, paused after that statement, letting his words echo off the Jerusalem stones. As you yourself know, did he pause on purpose, waiting for one person, just one person, to cry out in disagreement? Did he invite the opposition to react? They would probably say, wait a minute, we don't know what Peter is saying is true. We saw nothing. We witness no miracles, no wonders, no signs. But they witnessed no rebuttal. There was no refusal. There were no voices to the contrary. There was instead a nodding of the heads. And I'm sure there was an amen or 12 there. An affirming murmur from the crowd. Many of the people had not only seen the miracles, they had been blessed by them. Can we not assume that some people in the Jerusalem audience were seeing Peter with their eyes that were once blind? You remember Jesus healed the blind. Maybe somebody stood on legs that were once crippled, listening to Peter talk about the Lord who had healed him. Maybe there were some lifted, healthy hands before God that were marred and scarred by leprosy. No adversary countered the claim of Peter because no adversary could. The reason about 3,000 people responded to Peter's altar call in Acts 38 through 41 was not because his sermon was so great or eloquent, but because Jesus' ministry was so powerful. Case studies were sprinkled throughout the audience of people that Jesus had healed. Would you be open to the idea of a miracle-working Christ? A miracle is a work of God wrought by God for a godly purpose. Miracles are shoulder taps from God, whispers, reminding us, you're not alone, my child. I'm still in charge. My plan will be achieved. And you're part of it. Miracles remind us that there is more to this life than meets the eye. John 20, verses 30 through 31. Miracles are signs given that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the believing, and that in believing you may have life in His name. I hope in some small way God has spoke to you this morning about miracles. This is one of those subjects that you could go on and on and on about. But I know your fried chicken lunch and your barbecue is calling you, or whatever you're having, chicken pastry. Oh, I'm getting hungry now.
Can I share a miracle with you?
I wish you would.
Biopsy, what they saw was not that.
Absolutely. He does.
Written by a Catholic priest or a doctor. He's changed, he's got a 180 about healing and miracles. This sermon just goes right along with it. It just opens it up. If you're interested that healing is a good source to read. If you're not finished, I'll put it in the locker.
Okay. While I have the floor open, anybody else?
I just feel like I had to share that.
And that's fine. This is perfect time. Praise the Lord.
Praise. We've got so many in our family, we'd be there an hour.
That's right. That's not a devil thing.
No, I mean, that's just me. And how can you not know that there's a God and you witness that kind of thing?
That's right. That's exactly right. Henry, will you close us with a prayer?
Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for bringing me out of my cave and letting me come back and be amongst believers, Lord God. It's such a refreshing thing, Lord God. It's like Connie Francis is in her arms, Lord God. I feel energized and I'm so full and happy, Lord, and I thank you for your spirit being here amongst us. We may be